It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, it's time for another edition of Valley Edition. It's my great pleasure to welcome on the phone in her busy day, Zaz Hollander. Welcome, Zaz. And here in the studio, we have Mark Kelsey, who's come in through the sun to spend his time in the dark of the studio. Welcome, Mark. Well, this has been a very, very busy week in many respects, as winter has turned to spring. But one of the biggest events that happened was at the Palmer City Council meeting on Tuesday. And the focus, the core focus for the large group of people that were there, and we filled the chambers, was, of course, a question that seemed small at first on the agenda, but then became the subject of considerable discussion. And I'm talking about having the council approve an exception that would allow the city manager to give a permit to a group proposing a gun range and other businesses in the now empty Fred Meyer building. The room was full. The discussion was fairly heated at times, and both the audience and the council was struggling to understand what exactly was being put before them that evening. The exception was a part of the way in which permits are granted, which would normally be a small piece because basically the property in question is a commercial property. Kroger, Fred Meyer, is negotiating to find someone to occupy the building, either to lease or to buy it. And the proposal coming from Valkyrie Security was a fairly well-developed business plan. I think the most significant thing was that people seemed to have learned about it within the last 24 hours prior to the meeting. And so doing just the phrase, gun range, in downtown Palmer, caused people to sit up and take notice. And during that discussion, of course, it was pointed out that the city didn't have any ordinances dealing with zoning, etc., that applied. So I suspect this discussion, which, by the way, resulted in a 4-3 vote for postponement, will continue in 2 weeks. Zaz, I know you've been listening to part of that. Any comments?
You know, some people think this is a great idea, and other people just can't stomach the idea. And yet, at the heart of the city's role is just this noise permit. But as I understand it anyway, I couldn't attend the meeting, but I talked with people after that U-Haul might be going in, that U-Haul reportedly has made an offer on that $6.5 million building, and U-Haul wouldn't confirm that to me. So I don't, you know, I'm just going to have to go with what city officials told me. But you know, I don't know if residents, I don't know that it would come to this, but would you rather have a bunch of moving trucks at the gateway? I don't know. I don't know what people prefer. I do think that obviously the gun issue is hitting a nerve.
Right. Well, let me just remind listeners that we were there at the meeting, and we did a number of things that might help after you've heard the discussion here on Valley Edition. We streamed the meeting. We recorded the meeting. It's up on Radio Free Palmer's website. And we've also did a video. We've been moving ahead with our video project for the council meetings, and I believe we will be able to have that video available for people that allows you to watch the whole thing as well. And I've had a number of people say that even though perhaps they've been there, it was worth looking back over and listening not only to the people who were presenting information from the public, but also the discussion that the council was involved in, because this was a very back-and-forth type of discussion, ultimately resulting in a 4-3 vote to move that discussion to completion in 2 weeks. Now, there had been a concern because when asked, Valkyrie, as the proposer, said, we do have a time frame here. We're coming here, and we need this to move forward for our contractual arrangement to play out, or else then someone else is going to be going in there and we may not be able to continue. Subsequently, I understand that they were disappointed. But I believe they will be back at the next meeting, which is going to be on the 24th, to continue the discussion. Whether the deal here at Fred Meyer is done and gone and not going to happen, or the broader question, which I've discussed with the city manager, that involves the question of whether the city council would like to take a look at gun ranges in general within the city limits, and also take a look at the ordinances and zoning that presently applies to direct if someone is interested, let's do it over in this area or that area. Because to my knowledge, nothing precludes the gun range from going in there. This is technically kind of a small permit that on the basis of what has been presented would probably be granted. Saz, any further?
No, I think he summed that up. The next meeting is the 24th if people want to come and testify, and there is expected to be a decision.
Okay. Mark?
Well, what I'm curious about the testimony at the last meeting, was it split or was all the emotion on one side?
Well, the interesting thing was, I would say that the dominant theme throughout from all the people speaking was one of concern. There were some people who were very concerned, and there were other people that were looking for more information. And they often began by saying, we have guns, you know, we're okay with guns, but there's something here we need to know more about. And that was a theme that the testimony began with, which was to say, we just learned about this recently. Now, the actual agenda and the backup paperwork had been out for well over a week. But because it was a small item and it wasn't bringing forth an approval of a gun range specifically, like laying that out with a public hearing, et cetera, because it wasn't of that nature, people missed it, I think. And so that led to a number of other people saying, and council people as well, we want to know more about this. Now, the vote was 4-3 to postpone, and there was a lot of discussion, and the people that voted in favor of postponement, including the mayor, who I would submit was the key player here. She was willing to say she's supportive of gun businesses and all the rest, but the whole point was there were a lot of people that wanted to talk, and there were additional people who wanted to talk to it, even though what they were talking about was broader than this particular small piece. The other people that voted in favor of postponement included Sabrina Combs, Pete LaFrance, and Mr. Carrington. So we'll see how that plays out.
Well,
Mark?
I'm curious, too, about the company. How it sounds like they've got these operations elsewhere.
Well, what they are is Valkyrie is a security company, and they operate in the city of Palmer and other places providing security services and so on. So they seem to have provided the detail that said, we know what we're doing with this kind of thing, and they seem to be a legitimate, they appear to be a legitimate group that has done a lot of work to bring this together. But even saying that, I think there were some council members that wanted to hear a little bit more about what they were doing. Although, once again, the city is not really in the play of saying, okay, Kroger, you're negotiating with your building and someone who wants to put a business there, provided that it meets the general criteria of that area as it's zoned. For example, I think the one that was given was you could put light equipment rental there, but you couldn't put heavy equipment rental there because of zoning. But there's nothing that precludes the operation they were describing.
Interesting.
Okay. So that was a big focus of attention. Now, I'd like to switch here our focus a bit further afield and look at Juneau. Because Juneau is right up there against that, we've got to finish up here, 90 days over, et cetera. And what we've been noticing as reports have been coming in, That there's been some concern most recently today. I think the Anchorage Daily News had a piece about gridlock associated with some bills that involve crime, stopped because of other features. We've watched a Juneau representative from the House actually walk out of a committee meeting, Representative Quito, who also, as I saw the report, has left the coalition in the House, leaving it still at 21 members, I believe. So that is all happening, and there's continuing discussion, of course, around the budget. And I guess the other piece of legislation that seems to be moving along has to do with a smoke-free legislation for the entire state. And I mentioned Representative Quito. The sense I have was that was a change that was proposed by the chair of that committee that essentially, in some people's minds, gutted the whole legislation by leaving a local option in place and excluding marijuana and vaping. That made things saying, well, what are we doing here? And he felt that was inappropriate. Mark.
I say good for him. I suspect that the majority will still have Sam Quito when it comes time to vote on the budget, but there's no denying that one fewer person makes things very tight, vote-wise down there. But this, I think it was good that he did this. It's been holed up for a couple of years, and really by one person. The idea that any chair could, you know, have that kind of power seems to fly in the face of, you know, good representative democracy, especially for a bill like Smoke-Free Alaska, which I think enjoys 85% support or something like that. It's widely favored in the legislature and in the public. So to not even have it on the floor for a vote seems sad and kind of ludicrous. I think we're seeing here at the end of the session again, you know, folks maybe not on their best behavior. It's happening in the Senate, too, with the crime bills, Coghill sitting on a couple of them. And, you know, he was the initial sponsor of SB 91.
That's right.
So he seems, it seems very personal with him. And again, the kind of thing that is not productive for the big picture and for Alaskans.
Okay. And we also note that the last figures I saw, and the two of you might correct me if I missed this legislature is on record, on a path to a record of passing the fewest bills. I noted maybe 37. Very often there's a discussion about this saying, well, we may not, we may delay the work on the budget, but we really do other bills and get things through. But at this point, it doesn't seem like that is happening as well. We do know that the budget is in a place where it presumably could go to a final vote at some point in the near future. The House has done its work. The Senate is well on its way to it. There's been changes to the PFD legislation. There have been discussions about that. But I'm not seeing a lot of news coming out that says we've really talked to the leadership in both houses and we see this is going to happen and we'll be out of there within a day or two.
No, it really does seem up in the air, more up in the air than it should at this point. Tim Bradner had an excellent opinion piece in ADN yesterday, I think, talking about the very real possibility of a deal being struck on the PFD. And he, I think, very accurately explained that as a key piece toward, you know, the full meal fiscal deal, but it's incomplete because it still lacks a new revenue piece, an income tax or a sales tax. But his point was, if we lock in the permanent fund piece, that will pave the way for the harder tax questions in a a non-election year next session.
Well, you mentioned the PFD, and I know that the situation is that people have passed the date when they can apply for their check, but they have not passed the point where they can direct some of their money through the program Pick, Click, and Give. And what we've noted is that there are still people who have been contributing funds to Pick, Click, and Give. In some cases, they've become more selective for organizations. Some organizations are receiving more, some slightly less. But there's at least a sense that Pick, Click, and Give is still a viable part of this. And, of course, in the remaining months that we have, because you can go all the way down and toward the end of August, there's a real interesting question of whether the PFD amount will determine whether people return to that page, push the green button, and donate to the organization of their choice. Because you still have until August 31st to do that, even though the sign-up for the dividend has ended. And so, yeah, Mark.
So donating is down?
Donating is slightly down, but it's still at a level which is pretty good. And here it becomes difficult for me to provide exact by saying, okay, we know that PFD Pick, Click, and Give donations are big at the first part of January. Then they continue on, and we'd have to compare year to year, time frame to time frame. But this year feels a bit different, so we're in an anomaly. You know, if we started out by saying we're going to get 1,100, then we're going to get 2,600, now we're going to get 1,600. I would believe that people would feel differently. I think I would if I were receiving $2,600, whether I donated 100 or 200, versus if I were receiving 1,100.
I agree. It makes sense that there would be some reluctance to, jump on board before anyone knows what the final amount is. But worth a side note here that Radio Free Palmer is part of the Pick, Click, Give program and a worthy recipient.
Right. There are many worthy recipients. Let's go back to things happening. Next week, there will be two meetings. There will be a borough assembly meeting, and there will also be a meeting of the school board. If I could point to one meeting that's probably going to be the most significant happening, except for the finalization of a budget, this meeting coming up next week looks like it's going to be a big one at the assembly. The discussion presumably will reach the point of a decision about just what amount will be given to the school district. Of course, we're still awaiting what's going to happen down in Juneau, and that's a huge thing. So, but at least we'll get a better feel for the relationship between the assembly and the school board on this issue this year on next Tuesday. I would say that if anyone had one meeting to go to this spring, that might be the one to do.
Any port talk on that agenda?
The timber project.
Timber project.
Yes.
Thank you, Zaz, for bringing us back to reality. Have you anything further on that timber project?
I'm trying to think if there's anything new that's substantial. I think the Alaska demolition role hasn't been explored very much, and I frankly haven't had time this week to explore it with plane crashes and murders in Anchorage and around the state, unfortunately, for everybody involved. Although the pilot in the plane crash south of Keokuk walked away, so that's a good thing. It was Hagelin Aviation, which is not good for their incident record. But I haven't heard anything groundbreaking as to what might happen. I'm sure there are plenty of small conversations of small numbers of assembly members, as is legally permitted, happening.
Right. Right. Now, there has been one other thing. Well, there have been two things that have come up with education. We'll touch upon them briefly. Once again, this happens to be in Anchorage, of course, with the Anchorage School District, a proposal to take a look at changing start times for schools. And I know that has been floated here in the Valley from time to time. Zaz Do you like the start times here in the Valley?
You know, I personally don't, but I think that's mostly because of the biorhythms, circadian rhythms of my kids. It just seems like getting a middle or high schooler to get to bed at a good time is difficult, and the younger kids tend to fall asleep sooner. So I personally, it would be easier for me if they switched, but I know a lot of parents who don't think so, and sports and busing and et cetera.
Okay. Mark, throw in.
Well, yeah, I've heard variations of this conversation, of this idea in various places around the state I've been over the years. It seems to be backed with, you know, sound science, but it also seems to always come down to a question of convenience for parents and families. And I think that seems to be what causes it to not change. As good an idea as it might be, I think just the idea of that little change is too much. It's a deal. It's a deal breaker for people. But maybe it'll be different this time.
Okay. So the second thing dealing with education that statewide has come out is a report about the recent testing, and particularly for fourth and eighth grade in English and math. And at first glance, it would appear that Alaska is looking like it has gone backwards with declining scores. And we're down near the bottom in that regard. And I would suspect that coming out as it did at this point, this might feed into whether it's an assembly discussion or the legislature's discussion about money and processes and all the rest about it. I'll do the same thing, Zaz. In terms of the testing, do you have some sense about your faith in the testing or your own students' involvement?
Boy, I haven't parsed that data, so I really can't speak with any kind of integrity on that topic. I mean, I have my own personal experiences with testing. I think there's way too much of it going on right now, and maybe Mark has his own personal perspective being married to a very good teacher who taught my daughter.
Mark, comment.
Yes, as the spouse of a teacher and a parent of a student, I think it is cause for concern for sure. And the most unfortunate thing is that headline, just the idea that they're down will fuel the debate, you know, that we shouldn't continue to throw all kinds of money at public schools. It's obviously way more complex than that. And it would be good if we, you know, were able to drill down into it and find out exactly what it means and how it can be fixed.
Although there's some demographic information, these are statewide numbers that are provided, and that's been long a known factor of the delivery of education in these 2 years, particularly fourth and eighth grade, and in a variety of places, whether rural villages or the core area. And I know that it's the report prompted an immediate response from a number of school districts, and I think we're going to see more of discussion. But I think to the point you make, Mark, as a complicated, it's presented as a complicated issue, still somehow someone has to find a way to clarify what we mean and get some identification of the factors at work and tie the connection between what programs are doing and the work that's, you know, the results. And once again, validate whether this particular set of tests, and we know that tests have changed over time, actually reflects the general sense of how students are doing in school.
Well said.
Okay, I'll put it that way. All right. Well, once again, folks, we've come to another edition of Valley Edition. I really want to thank Zaz Hollander for taking time out of her busy day to call in. Thank you, Zaz.
Oh, sure. A pleasure to be here.
And I want to thank Mark Kelsey for coming into the studio, too, on this bright, beautiful day. Thank you, Mark.
A good discussion. Happy to be part of it.
All right. I'll be back. We'll be back next week for another edition of Valley Edition.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.